Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast, recording live from the Latol Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latol Recovery Center located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or email at latolrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latolrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook.
And Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all. To make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting that their experience, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Radio Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And my partner.
And I'm Denise, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I've been in recovery for a while now from pain meds and illegal drugs, and just very glad to be in recovery and glad to be here today.
Fantastic. And it's so good to see you. It's been a while since we've been in a pseudo studio together. Mm-hmm. So really great to see you.
It's good to see you well, as Johnny. Great. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So today's topic is anxiety, and Johnny picked out an article from the National Institute of Mental Health. He's going to go ahead and read that, and then we'll talk about some things related to that, and more so probably things that are related to our own experiences.
Right, exactly.
But we wanted to kind of give an overview about anxiety disorders first before we
dive into our own stuff.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. This article is from the National Institute of Mental Health at www.nimh.nih.gov. It's a great website with a whole lot of really good information in it. So here we go, anxiety disorders and the overview. Occasionally, anxiety is an expected part of life. You might feel anxious when faced with a problem at work, before taking a test, or before making an important decision. But anxiety disorders involve more than temporary worry or fear. For a person with an anxiety disorder, the anxiety does not go away and can get worse over time. The symptoms can interfere with daily activities such as job performance, schoolwork, and relationships. There are several types of anxiety disorders, including generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, and various phobia-related disorders. Signs and symptoms. Generalized anxiety disorder. People with generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, display excessive anxiety or worry. Most last for at least 6 months, but about a number of these things, such as personal health, work, social interactions, and everyday routine life circumstances. The fear and anxiety can cause significant problems in areas of their life, such as social interactions, school, and or work. GAD, or generalized anxiety disorder, symptoms include feeling restless, wound up, or on edge, being easily fatigued, having difficulty concentrating, mind going blank, being irritable, having muscle tension, difficulty controlling feelings of worry, having sleep problems such as difficulty falling or staying asleep, restlessness, or unsatisfying sleep. Panic disorders. People with panic disorders have recurrent unexpected panic attacks. Panic attacks are sudden periods of intense fear that come on quickly and reach their peak within minutes. Attacks can occur unexpectedly or can be brought on by a trigger, such as a feared object or situation. During a panic attack, people may experience heart palpitations, a pounding heartbeat, or an accelerated heart rate, sweating, trembling or shaking, sensations of shortness of breath, smothering or choking, feelings of impending doom, and feelings of being out of control. People with panic disorder often worry about when the next attack will happen, and actively try to prevent future attacks by avoiding places, situations, or behaviors they associate with panic attacks. Worry about panic attacks and the effort spent trying to avoid attacks can cause significant problems in various areas of a person's life, including the development of agoraphobia. Phobia-related disorders. A phobia is an intense fear or aversion to specific objects or situations. Although it can be realistic to be anxious in some circumstances, the fear people with phobias feel is out of proportion to the actual danger caused by the situation or objects. People with a phobia may have an irrational or excessive worry about encountering the feared object or situation, take active steps to avoid the feared object or situation. They experience immediate, intense anxiety upon encountering the feared object or situation, endure unavoidable objects and situation with intense anxiety. Now, some of the specific phobias or simple phobias, like flying, heights, specific animals such as spiders or dogs or snakes. Some people fear injections or the sight of blood. And then there's a social anxiety disorder called social phobia. People with social anxiety disorders have a general intense fear of or anxiety toward social or performance situations. They worry that actions or behaviors associated with their anxiety will be negatively evaluated by others, leading them to feel embarrassed. This worry often causes people with social anxiety to avoid social situations. Social anxiety disorder can manifest in a range of situations, such as within the workplace or the school environment. Then it goes on to describe a bunch of very different specific phobias. Agoraphobia, fear of, leaving the home, being in open spaces, being on public transportation, being crowded or being outside the home alone. There's separation anxiety disorder. There's selective mutism, which is a fairly rare one, where people are unable to speak. Researchers are finding that both genetic and environmental factors contribute to the risk of developing an anxiety disorder. Although the risk factors for each type of anxiety disorder can vary, some general risk factors for all types of anxiety disorder include temperamental traits of shyness or behavioral inhibition in childhood, exposure to stressful and negative life environmental events in early childhood or adulthood, a history of anxiety or other mental illnesses in biological relatives, some physical health conditions such as thyroid problems or heart arrhythmias, or caffeine or other substances, medications can produce or aggravate anxiety symptoms. A physical health examination is helpful in the evaluation of a possible anxiety disorder. And there are different treatments and therapies that they talk about here, psychotherapy, talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and medications such as antidepressants, beta blockers, benzodiazepines. And then there's also support groups and stress management techniques. You can read the complete article, and I recommend you do if you're struggling with anxiety, because there's a lot more to it. I kind of hit the highlights there. Go to the National Institute of Mental Health website. Again, it's www.nimh.nih.gov, and just search for anxiety disorders there, and you'll pick up the information. Yeah. So that's a lot of talking. Getting a little hoarse.
Do you want a break?
No, that's let's go ahead and tear it up.
Okay.
Denise, you and I talked before the program, and we both know we have shared anxiety disorders, including depression and other things, relative to just our general lives prior to addiction, and then also afterwards, and, you know, dealing with life on life's terms, as we say. You've been dealing with something that I'm sure has been causing you a lot of anxiety, is a health issue in your family.
Mm-hmm. So I was just going to back up and say, like, so during say, just real quick, but during childhood, I think there was a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder going on that caused depression and different kinds of things as I was growing up from things that were happening around me in my family.
Right.
And then during the pill and drugs and all the things, that part, active addiction in my life, I think that those things caused severe depression and anxiety. I don't think, you know, it's one of those things where my body was not meant to be on illegal drugs, and while it was, it did very poorly. So, but yes, so in recovery, as time has gone on, there have been different kinds of things that come up that just cause stress and anxiety and worry and fear. As I've learned to navigate on how to then live life with those things going on, and how do I best move forward through them. And so, yes, I do. I have a family member who has been having some health problems off and on over the last year. They've been really hard. And even though it's not my health problem, it's like I experienced this secondary, you know, trauma to what's going on with her. And it's really hard.
Oh, yeah.
They're really stressful situations, you know, these near-death situations, one that I was actually present for. And so those are hard things. So I guess I wanted to share that, you know, what's been really, really helpful for me, of course, you know, is my faith. And then also the fact that I've had so many people in my life that care about me and that I connect with each week and that I can talk to, so that I don't sit isolated in those thoughts. You know, that's just been hugely important to me, to be able to talk about it, you know, with friends and stuff like that, to have support and things. And so one thing that I would encourage the listening audience, regardless of whether or not you struggle with any of these kinds of things, is if you don't have close people in your life that you trust, work towards that, because you just never know when you're going to need the support and love of others. And I do realize that there are times, you know, you move somewhere or you have a lack of trust for people because of things that have happened in your life, and you're like, I really don't want to let anybody in.
Right.
I get that. And maybe it starts out with trusting one person, you know, and seeing if they're a safe person before you let them into the personal things in your life. But I found an actual, like, true, real healing to be able to have friends that care about me, that I can share these really, really hard things with that are going on. And by being able to share those, and you're one of those people, Johnny, by being able to share those, it helps with the worry, the fear, the anxiety. So that's just one of the things that helps me. And I have more, but I wanted to give you an opportunity as well. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's been quite the last year and a half. So what have you been experiencing?
Yeah, it's been it's been wackadoo,
right?
You know, starting out with the COVID coming on last year, I had hoped to go and visit my family down in California, my sisters. And they're all older than I, in their 70s and almost 80s. And they basically said, nope, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, we're locked down, and, you know, we're sanitizing the toilet paper as it comes in, you know,
right,
from delivery. Although it didn't cause me any particular anxiety, you know, in that event. But, you know, it did bring on some depression. And not being able to go out, not being able to do all that much, you know, thank God for the recovery center being open, because at least I still had some purpose. Since I retired from my career a few years ago, you know, I've needed something to fill that, not just the time void, but to keep that feeling of contribution to something, mm-hmm, to be of service, and to you know, try and follow the orders from that power greater than myself, which, right, you know, I call God, I call Jesus, I call a lot of different things. I really call when I'm in trouble. So that has caused some issues with depression and just dealing with that. There were health issues in my family. Fortunately, they were all things that were kind of planned for. So, you know, but the anxiety that goes along with, you know, a grouchy person you're trying to help heal, you know, cause a little anxiety, you know, get a little angry from time to time and have to kind of back off on that, pray for a little more patience. But, I'm going to go flip back in time because I went through a period of really extreme anxiety back many years ago, and it was pretty much directly tied to my drinking, my alcoholism. Although today I enjoy flying, I was pretty terrified of it, and I had to fly for work often, you know, across the country to go fix some machines or make some sort of modification at a customer site. And so fortunately I had alcohol to help deal with that, although that didn't always work. And I couldn't tell you how many times I would have panic attacks on airplanes and end up having to lay down in the aisle while people stepped over me, you know, trying to get to the bathroom. But I would go into a full-blown panic attack. Fortunately, they started to subside quite a bit when I stopped drinking. And I was able, through doing cognitive talk therapy, when I did have to fly, I trusted my doctor to give me a very mild dose of some sort of benzodiazepine, like a Valium or something like that, so that I could calm down before I got on the plane. And now I look forward to flying. I actually, you know, enjoy it, and actually have gone out with people in small airplanes and really had a great time flying around and actually taking the controls and buzzing here and there. But those panic attacks were awful. I mean, I really felt the anxiety was so strong. I really thought every time I had one, this is it. I'm getting, you know, my heart's going 90 miles an hour. It's going to stop. I'm going to die. You know, or I'm going to have a stroke
be, just to get the whole, you know, breathing,
debilitating.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole thing. It's
not fun. Like,
awful.
Get the bag out and, like, breathe in it.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible.
It wasn't all just, you know, medication. The medication helped with the depression. After the death of my parents and my favorite uncle, I went through a period of pretty dark times. And the antidepressants worked really well while I worked through them in other ways. You know, my program, AA, gave me a lot of tools to dealing with alcohol. And I discovered through this process, this healing process, that there's also tools in there for dealing with things like depression, anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And trusting in a higher power helped a lot, believe it or not. Once God proved it to me, because of course God had to prove it to me, that he could help me through these tough situations. But once he slapped me around a little bit and proved to me that he could help, and I started actually relying on God for help, a lot of the depression started cleared up well enough that after leaving my job of 15 years in a high stress environment, I was able to taper off and get off of the antidepressant medicine. It was like Zoloft, something like that, and able to start living life on life's terms without that medication. And you know, it was a struggle, though. It was not, I will not say it was easy, you know, and I sought professional help, as well as going through relying on friends, people in the program. And, you know, to this day, I still do that. I reach out to people when I know they're struggling. You know, I've been in contact, even though we've been out of the studio and maybe only together a dozen times, not even that, you know, a handful of times in the last year to be able to record these shows. I've kept in touch because, you know, not only is it important for me to keep in touch, but I know it's important to the people I'm reaching out to, just to let them know You know, in your case, hey, how are things going? Right. You know, what's going on? And I know sometimes they probably came out of left field. It's like, I'm working. This guy's bugging me. You know, what the hell?
I'll have to get back to you later.
Yeah. I'm busy. The kids are on fire.
The kids are on fire. That's great.
My truck's not working and blah, 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 and on and on. So anyway, I mean, that's some of the experiences I've had with it and some of the reasons, you know, I've been able to, or some of the gifts I've been given to be able to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, it made me think of a couple of things as you were sharing. So there have been times where I experience like those anxiety things. Some it used to be they would just happen, but now they happen for a reason. Like, you know, you get the call and your mom's had a stroke. She's on her way to the hospital. Those kinds of things, you
right.
know, and you just can't stop crying or freaking out. But I learned something early in recovery, and I learned it at, I was a LATOL drug court participant, and my counselor taught me this. And so I've been able to put this into use, and I've been able to help other people with this when they're having problems. And it is basically just wherever you are, you're going to name off the things in your mind that are in the room. And I'm telling you, this works so well for me, for my daughters. There was actually even this year, while my husband and I were at my mom's house, we got the call and we rushed there, and she was having seizures. And so I was right there with her on her bed. She was laying down, and I was kind of holding her, and she started shaking. And of course, you know, she just freaked out, worried. And I was like, hey, mom, look. And I knew she wouldn't be able to see very far, but I was like, look at my face. Look at the color of my eyes. Look at the color of my hair. Look at the curls in my hair. And she started focusing, and I could see a change. And I mean, she's going through a full-blown stroke. So, I mean, you can't tell me this doesn't work. It like totally, I was like, yes. And we worked through that, and it did calm her down. So there's something about, at least from my experience, being able to name off all the things in the room, all the things that you can see visually, that helps calm you down. The second is, I have a friend who is a doctor, and she said it's like physically impossible to be doing your gratitude list in your head and to be like worried or like anxious at the same time. It's on different sides of your brain. And so as you're like, okay, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for this, it temporarily, while you're doing that, will help bring you into a better space as well. And I've had that, and I've experienced that too. So I thought that those were helpful things that I just kind of keep in the toolbox and pull them out quite a bit.
Right.
That have been helpful. And so, you know, calming yourself down in the middle of, you know, being really anxious or just being worried.
Well,
those are a couple of good ones, you know.
I noticed that tool you had of, you know, naming things in the room.
And go into detail, too.
I think I actually did that without knowing about it because I was told, change your focus.
Right, and that must be what it has to do with, change your focus.
When you're in a panic attack or in a situation where your brain starts spinning out of control, if you can change your focus to something else, it diminishes that.
The other craziness that's going
that,
on, huh?
Yeah, it slows the squirrel cage down.
Right.
And because you can't focus or think about two things at once. I don't know about the left, right side of the brain thing, but that kind of makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But I know I can't focus on talking to you right now and figuring out how to change the brake pads in my car. I just can't do it. You know, people say, well, I multitask. No, you're able to switch tasks rapidly.
And things that you're like, you just know, like you could be on the phone and like, I don't know, dusting at the same time, because it's something that you've done before, you know how to do it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Or muscle memory or whatever
right.
that is.
Exactly, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's take a short break and listen to some music, and we'll come back and talk more about the tools we've had and our experiences with anxiety and depression and how we've been able to deal with it.
Yeah, that sounds great. We'll be right back. You're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP.
The coolest station in the nation.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was a little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Well, the deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount, but nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a futile horn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a moaning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
And we are back in Recovery Radio. I'm Johnny, she's Denise, and we're talking about anxiety and depression and, you know, how we have dealt with that in the past. Hoping you will pick up a couple of gems.
Right, and currently, like, how does that look? You know, what are some tools that help? And, you know, during the break we were talking about, I brought up surrender. You know, there are things that come up, problems in life, whether it's our own stuff or a family member or a friend. And I know from my experiences, I spent a lot of time walking through my life thinking that I needed to figure out the solution for all the problems that were around me. And it felt like I had, you know, the house, the barn, and the kitchen sink, and all the people upon my shoulders.
Right.
And that is part of, I think, what led to my addiction and a lot of problems. I didn't really have this concept of surrender. I was not familiar with these 12 steps that, you know, work so amazing in our lives, you know, to stay in recovery. And so just surrendering and realizing, you know, I'm not God, I'm not the solve all of all the problems, and being able to do that in my mind, and then just humbling myself to be able to talk with people about things, or and pray, of course, and just know that it's not going to be the end of the world. And sometimes things are just really hard. And I sit with people in that, or the people that are struggling, and it's okay for things to not be okay. I'm very social, and I really enjoy being happy, having a great time. And I've spent most of my life not liking being uncomfortable or sad or any of those other feelings. But what I've found now as I'm in recovery and starting to experiencing those things, that it's not as bad as I thought. There are a lot of happy moments that can come out of the hard times. So I just want to encourage people to, if you're unfamiliar with the 12 steps, look it up, you know, and go over that. That could be something helpful that could help you in the midst of fear, anxiety, worry, whatever's going on. And, or if you are, reach out to your sponsor and just, you know, just call and say, hey, I'm just struggling. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what's going on. Or maybe you're just like, I'm a mess today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know what to do. I can barely breathe. Can we sit and talk for a minute, or can we go get some coffee or whatever it is? But I just really encourage you to connect with someone, even if that someone is just taking some time to pray. I mean, just don't stay isolated. Don't stay alone. It's been my experience that the anxiety will just keep going.
Yeah, and you know? And we were also talking about the fact that I'm sure there are certain people, I mean, a fear of dogs, or, you know, something that was caused by a trauma in childhood. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, way beyond, you know, your immediate control, unless, you know, you go back and deal with that somehow through counseling or therapy of some sort.
Absolutely.
But I know I created a lot of my own anxiety, worrying about, am I going to get fired for being drunk at work? I mean, yeah, it's a real thing. It turns out they fire you if you're drunk at work.
Imagine that, right?
You know, it happened to me
a few times. There are a lot of self-created problems when we're in addiction.
That's right. If you're out there and you find yourself developing an anxiety disorder, you might want to look at, you know, your environment. You know, they talk about in that article environmental things, and certainly using drugs. I mean, some people use drugs to enhance their work performance. Unfortunately, it doesn't last very long, or at least in my case, it hasn't lasted very long, hasn't worked very well. You know, you might want to think about, well, maybe my anxiety is of my own creation. And again, you know, I don't want to shortchange people who, my sister has an incredible anxiety, a fear of dogs, because when she was young, the neighbor's dog bit her and it took stitches to stop the bleeding. So there was a whole lot of trauma there.
There's no trust there.
She still, you know, she has dealt with it in one way that was really kind of humorous. She's an artist, and she was at a show, and one of the pieces an artist had display was a papier-mâché wolf, and it's not what I would call a, you know, perfect wolf sculpture. It's a little goofy looking, but she bought that from the artist in an attempt to deal with her anxiety around dogs. Mm-hmm. And so now Wolfie is in the house, and they move him around the house. You know, just, it's their dog. It's the dog she always kind of wanted but couldn't have because of this anxiety. So now she's got Wolfie, and everything's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
sometimes
so crazy.
You just got to take some steps, right?
Yeah. And when you talked about surrender, when I finally became convinced that A, I wasn't God, and that I did not have absolute control over people, places, and things, my anxiety went down quite a bit at that time too, because of that surrender. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm going to be in a situation where I'm really anxious, for example, funerals. I went to a funeral this morning, and I'm not very good at them, especially the kind where they leave the box open and you're obligated to go up and, you know, look at the husk of, you know, that person you knew and cared about and whatnot. As a matter of fact, I won't do those anymore. I will sit in the back where I can't see and just deal with it that way. I mean, that caused me a lot of anxiety, but mm-hmm. I was able to go because a friend of mine who actually introduced me to this person that passed was going to be there, and I wanted to be there to support him because he tends to get really emotional at events like that. And so I thought, well, this will be a good way for me to go, you know, show up for the family and tell them what I thought of this man, who was a tremendous person and really gave to the community here in a lot of different ways and to the country. So I went and I did that, and I didn't have a lot of anxiety over it. And I was happy with that because I wasn't there to feed my anxiety. I was focused on something else, like we talked about, exactly. You know, and it was good. It was a good event, a good experience for me in, you know, kind of a weird, rare kind of way. We are just about out of time here. You got any last thoughts you want to share?
Last thoughts. I do want to say that, you know, if a lot of times there are, you know, just like you were saying, there's traumas, woundings, different kinds of things that are under the anxiety or different kinds of things that are going on, fear, worry, and then some of the things that we talked about in the article. And so I wanted to say that, you know, you can work through some of those things at the Latal Recovery Center, get a peer, you know, peer support volunteer can help you out. Also, Real Life Church, Restoration Night, there's different kinds of support there. There are some classes that actually dive specifically into trauma-related things that will help, you know, you heal that up, and you can find freedom from the things, you know, like anxiety. So I just really encourage you to take a step if that's something that you're feeling led to do, and give a call. The Latal Recovery number is 208-883-1045, or you can just stop in at 531 South Main Street. And then the other classes that are Restoration Night are at Real Life, and they are open. I believe you could just call or ask some questions, so the lady answers the phone. And so that's like Monday through Thursday that they have regular hours, or you can just pop in on a Thursday night at 625, show up and check it out.
Yeah. And the recovery center, we just hired a master's level clinician, mm-hmm. Colleen Turk.
Excellent.
Who we had hoped to join us today, but she...
We didn't give her very much notice, did we? That's true. It was like yesterday. We're like, hey, you want to join us?
Hey, you want to join? But we are going to have her. I did send her an email and say, hey, would you like to be our guest sometime? And she has not responded yet.
But that was just yesterday.
People
could call and make an appointment with Colleen as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's perfect. What a great addition to the recovery center.
Oh, it is. It is fantastic. Nice. And it just, she had been an intern, master's mm-hmm. level intern, working with us for, almost the past year, I think.
Cool.
And this position opened up. A person who was our master's level clinician moved on for other opportunities, and Colleen applied and stepped up, and we were very happy to see her come on board. So
that's great.
It's all good.
Good things is always happening at the Latal Recovery Center.
That's right. And good things also happening on KRFP, and we're going to get out of the way and let the next show roll in.
Yep.
And thank you so much, Denise, for being available today. And we're going to be getting together on a regular basis.
Yes, we are.
So,
thank you, Johnny.
So all you folks out there that have been patient and enjoying all the recovery radio replays I've been doing over the COVID season. Now we're going to get back into some fresh information and new things coming on.
As the world is opening up, so are we. There we
go.
That's
right.
All right.
All right. So thanks for listening, and we'll be hearing you on the radio again next week.
Yes.
And again, you're listening to KRFP 90.3, the coolest station in the nation.
And remember, if you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, you do.